Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, thanks, Eddie. Here we go on this glorious Wednesday. What's up, Al?
Oh, hi there, Jerry. I don't know. Maybe it's because I've been watching like way too many crime documentaries and things. But no, it seems very unfair how, like, in the United States judicial system, right? If you have a really expensive, good lawyer, like, you have the advantage.
Yeah.
Even if you're the scuzzbag murderer or something.
Mm-hmm. And if you have a lawyer that's got contacts.
Yeah, how have we not fixed that yet?
I don't know.
It's so crazy,
right?
I do not
know. Yeah, I know.
And what's really weird is there's people that you think don't have, like, it's one thing for, like I'm sure P. Diddy, who now is in trouble, will get the highest price attorney available. And I understand where he's getting the money from, but there are some times where it's like some poor person commits a heinous murder and then, like, a famous, very expensive attorney represents them. How?
I don't know.
Like, how?
I do not.
Where's
know the
money
to that.
Coming from to pay them?
Don't know. I, not a clue.
Yeah, that's like throws me off.
Did you see the Donald Trump attorney?
No.
If you go to the New York Post or just search that.
Yeah.
She's 40. That's it.
Is that right?
And yeah,
she how's she was, looking, Jerry? Pretty good.
Yeah.
Do
yeah,
I just type in Donald Trump attorney?
Yeah, and put birthday celebration.
Birthday.
She's in some island with her girlfriends.
Oh, is that right?
And they're all in bikinis and holy smokes.
Alina Haba spotted celebrating her 40th birthday in St. Bart's.
Oh, St. Yeah. Bart's, that's it.
St. Bart's.
Yeah.
Wow, that's Donald Trump's attorney.
Yes.
Man. Oh,
I don't know
my.
What she's charging per hour, but good Lord.
Oh, my. Yeah. It just seems so unfair. I watched this in one of those Homicide New York episodes on Netflix that just came out. It's like this person was a serial rapist and murderer. His DNA was everywhere. In the victims, on the victims. And it took the jury 4 days to decide whether he was guilty or not.
And that has nothing to do with money. I don't care what you tell me.
They're saying because he was represented by some high.
The prosecuting attorney's got to do better. If there's that much DNA and that much proof, the prosecution has to be better.
Well, they said, like, oh, it took 4 days. And then we say, like, with juries, if it takes them a long time, like, it's taking them more.
There's an issue, right.
Yeah, that there's something, there's some arguments going on.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I guess it also depends. Back then, like, even in the O.J. case, which was the O.J. murders happened in 94.
Yeah.
And then however long that took. Even then, like, and I guess some of these stories that I'm looking at, maybe this one I think was from the 90s. I guess the juries didn't really trust the DNA evidence yet.
It was
right?
new.
It was new.
Yeah.
But like when you go, okay, we have semen, we have hair, we have clothing. It all has the perpetrator's DNA and the victim's DNA on it. And people are still
and
like.
And no one else's.
Yeah, no one else's.
Right.
And they're like, it's 1,000,000,000 to 1 that it's not him or something. Like, people are like, I'm not sure.
Right.
What? How are you? It seems like you could commit crimes and good chance of getting away with it.
Yeah, and I actually do think it's more so the money than it is the people they know in a lot of cases. And I don't mean things that go to actual trial.
Yeah.
I mean when deals get done to avoid trials and they get massive breaks on what should be longer jail sentences. I think in those cases, it's who you know, who you're going to make a deal with, who you're going to have drinks with afterwards. That's my experience from watching Law and Order for a few decades.
Oh, right. You're a big Law and Order. And you ran through those Law and Orders.
Yeah, I watched a lot of them. Not all of them. They kind of lost me the last few years. I did watch a few this year, and I watched the Sam Waterston's final one, which was really good, although could have been better. But for the most part, I watched almost every episode of a lot of seasons of that.
Yeah.
You know, and I do believe that a lot of that stuff happens, the conversations in the bars over drinks and the defending attorneys knowing that they're defending a guilty person, but they're owed a defense. Like, why? Like, you know it. Leave.
Right. That's what I feel like.
Someone else.
Our system should be if, like, the defense lawyer that's taking your case has to believe you in order to defend you.
Yeah, it's a weird
one. And if they
one.
Don't, they should not. Like, that's a weird job to have. I know everybody deserves a right to be defended. But if you're clearly guilty of a heinous crime, the person defending you should be believing in you.
Right. And yet, what are you supposed to do when they admit it to you in confidence as your defense attorney?
Yeah, it just that
it's awful.
Seems
the whole thing
broken.
Is awful. Yeah, I know. I
seems
know.
Broken.
Agreed.
And it's weird too, like when they you'll see the lawyers, like the person who's like, you know, even Jeffrey Dahmer, who was like killing and eating people. And like the comes into the courtroom with the lawyer. The lawyer's got their arm around him. Oh, it's okay. Gonna be okay, Jeffrey. That's a maniac you're dealing with.
I know. You're not wrong. And anything you say, you're not wrong.
It's so strange.
Yep. I know. No one said it's perfect. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, I don't, you know, and then if you have no money and somebody accuses you of a crime you didn't commit, you're using
you get the
like,
public defender.
Yeah. Public defender.
Mm-hmm. Which you hope they know what the hell they're doing.
Right.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. There's no way I could be a defender, lawyer, criminal defense if I
Let
knew
me
the
ask
person
you this.
Did it.
Let me take it from the other side. What if you were a prosecution and you put someone away and then realized, like, or you weren't sure and you put them away?
Yeah, you're right. It goes the other way too, right?
Yeah. I mean, I would think you have some sleepless nights. I would think.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I always say, like, we talk about our jobs and some of these other people. I mean, you talk about serious stuff. I mean, they ended the show talking about the poor cop that was shot. We're talking about, you know, people defending or prosecuting when you really don't know. I mean, in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
And you're going on circumstantial evidence and, I don't know, you're okay going home at the end of the day thinking you might have just gave someone a 4-year sentence and you're kind of sure, but not 100%
right.
sure. It's tough.
That's why I feel like with the DNA, that really makes me sure in a lot of, well, I guess I wouldn't say in a lot of cases, in many cases.
But there are a lot of gray areas where there's not DNA.
Right.
And you're going off of the evidence you have.
Yeah, or where they say, like if you murder somebody and you're so good at hiding the body, there's no body. When there's no body, as you probably know from your Law and Orders, right? Very tough to convict someone of murder if you haven't found a murdered body.
Correct.
No matter.
Missing.
Yeah. No matter how many links they have to you and the person's missing.
No doubt.
Man.
Law and Order. Not easy.
Yeah, not easy. So complicated. Where it's especially the cases that seem like slam dunks. It's like, oh, this person admit that you'll get DNA evidence. You'll get a video of the person saying they did it. And they'll be like, I was coerced.
Mm-hmm. How about now with all this AI stuff? How do you know what video is real and what's not? How do you know what audio is real and what's not? I mean, I know you can have your audio and video experts, but are they 100% certain of what the hell they're looking at? Honestly.
Right.
I mean, we're in a crazy time right now.
Yeah.
Crazy
time. Wild time.
It sure is.
But it seems like we're in a good era if you are a criminal.
Like, well, right now, yeah.
It seems like right now. Like the criminals.
We talked about the squatting crap yesterday.
Yeah. Like the criminals get the benefit of the doubt.
Yep.
I don't like that. I like the criminals not to get the benefit of the doubt. Especially if you have a record.
If you have a record, then you should have to prove you're innocent, not be assumed innocent.
Yeah.
If you have a criminal record.
Yes.
You know, to me, you got to earn the trust back.
Yeah.
But it's not the way it works.
Do you think you'd have been a good judge?
No.
No.
No, I'm swayed by everything.
You're like, that's a good point.
Yeah. There was a really good, there was an interesting thing I read. It's funny how we're talking about this now in terms of what we see, hear, know, don't know, believe, don't believe. Jemele Hill, is that how I say her name? Mm-hmm. I don't know what she does anymore, but she used to be at ESPN. She posted something. The quote was something along the lines in terms of journalistic integrity and where we're at as journalists, not us, but where journalism is right now. And she said, we're living in a time, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't have it in front of me, where the sky is clearly blue, cloudless, and beautiful. And yet someone will come along and say, that sky is red. And they're allowed to believe it. And we're supposed to just say, okay. She goes, that's where we're at now. And it's like, that's not, that's your opinion, because what I'm looking at is fact. And yet we treat these opinions as fact. It drives me nuts. I remember I got into an argument with my wife about this over politics, ironically enough. I think it was, I don't know if it was the first Trump-Biden one. I think it was, actually. And we were just talking about how all these opinions are flying left and right. And she asked me who I was voting for. I remember saying, I'm like, I ain't voting for any of these two tools. And she looked at me. I'm like, unlike most people who spew crap that they really don't know what they're saying, they offer these baseless, useless opinions, I'm not going to do that. And she's like, well, what does that mean? I'm like, well, it means most people just talk and have no reference to back anything up. They just say stuff. And she's like, well, it's their opinion. I'm like, but based on what? So I said, are you going to vote for so-and-so? Why? I like them. Okay, but you want to back that up with something? I don't have to. It's my opinion. I like them. Okay, I mean, that's where we're at, I suppose. And we argued about it for a few hours. But that's the world we're living in.
Yeah, I always thought it odd when people would say, just vote for somebody. Well, that seems weird.
I won't do that. I will not do that if I don't believe in the person I'm voting for.
Yeah, or you don't, like in so many of these, not necessarily presidential elections, I feel like I know what's going on. But you get down to the next level and the level under that, I'm like, I don't know what these guys, men and women, stand for.
Right.
And you want me to go in and pull the lever just so, because I have to vote? Because
they did good marketing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't like that.
I know. And that's on us.
Yeah.
For not educating ourselves on the people that are put in power, what they represent and what they're trying to do or change.
But I even, when someone was running for Bradley Beach, my very local council type stuff, and I thought, I'm going to try to learn everything I can. I could not find real information.
Answer.
Right.
There's no straight answer from anybody.
Yeah. Like even at the low local level, mm-hmm. I couldn't figure out like what each person stood for.
Like to your question before, in terms of could I be a judge? I can listen to Biden, as tough as it is these days, as he's an older person, and listen to some of the things he says and be like, yeah, that makes sense. Then I could listen to Trump rip that to shreds and explain why. I'm like, yeah, wow, that Biden lose a loon. Then you get the response. It's like, my God, Trump's out of his mind. Like I'm sitting there, they all make it sound so good. I don't know what's real and true anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, to be a judge too, like judges do get threatened by people put into jail.
Imagine being a judge on a mob case.
Right. How are you doing that?
I don't know. A gang case? How would you not be concerned every time you open your car door that the car's not going to explode?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that stuff happens.
Yeah.
Or at least the threats happen, I believe.
Especially in the cases where, I don't know what cases get a jury and which cases get a judge. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes a judge decides a case.
Well,
I don't know.
The judges do a lot of divorce and family issues.
Yeah.
I don't know about criminal cases. Not sure. I don't think there are juries for divorces and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. But I think some of the hardcore violent crime things, I think there is somewhere in there where you could opt for a judge.
Really?
But most people think it is easier to persuade a jury.
Yeah. And you only got to persuade one.
Right.
One
Which
out
is
of 12.
Why you don't see a judge cases. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would make sense, unless you can buy it off.
I wonder what's easier to be, Jerry. You think, what would be easier, to become a judge or to become a lawyer?
In terms of schooling?
Yeah. Like if I was like, I want the easy way out, could I become a...
I don't know there is one for
yeah.
that. I don't know there's an easy way out.
You think they're very similar paths?
Well, you have to know the law inside and out.
Yeah, to be a judge.
I mean... And I don't know how that would be the case for an attorney, too.
I guess
the better question would be, how much more education do you need in terms of schooling and degrees? I don't know the answer to that. I mean, law school has got to be what? After you finish college, is it 4 more years?
At least, law school? Yeah.
I got to think to be a judge, it's got to be the same, no? Don't you have to study old cases and know references?
Yeah,
and
I would think so.
I mean, I don't know. You're not going
to
remember.
I think a judge
all,
would need to go even further than a lawyer.
Yeah, I would.
Because you got to know everything. And maybe if you're in a lawyer, and when you go to lawyer school, law school.
Lawyer school? Oh, my God.
Do you declare a major like prosecutor or defense? Or do you have, or you learn both?
I don't know.
Boy, we got questions, Jerry, don't we?
How long?
We got some people that probably went to lawyer school that are listening right now that might be able to tell me.
Let's see. How long to become a judge?
Yeah, judge.
In order to be eligible to be appointed as a judge, you must be admitted to the practice of law in the state of New York for at least 10 years.
Oh, man, I'm going to be so old by the time I become a judge.
Appointed as a... You must be admitted to the practice of law. I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
In addition, you must be a current... I'm looking... Yeah, I was
maybe
looking,
you got to be a lawyer first and then become a judge?
Wow, one of these questions. Is it harder to be a judge or a lawyer?
Perfect, Jerry.
All right. Becoming a judge is generally considered harder than becoming a lawyer due to several factors. Prerequisite of being a lawyer. Oh, I didn't know that.
That's what okay. It must mean then. You have to be a lawyer
that.
For
okay.
a number of years.
Yeah. Typically, the first step to becoming a judge is to become a lawyer. So clearly, that's harder.
Perfect.
There you go. Asked and answered. We solved it.
Figured it out.
There you go.
I didn't need anybody who went to lawyer school to even respond to me.
They probably did already.
Oh.
That's funny.
All right. So judges are previous lawyers.
Yes. That's what it sounds like.
You know what's the other weird thing that we still do in this day? The person who types in the court, stenographer.
Stenographer. I was going to say topographer.
They're typing on a weird machine.
Yeah,
it's not a typewriter.
Shorthand, right?
Yeah, it's some sort of shorthand. And they're typing so fast. Then I imagine they go back after and write it out in real.
Sounds tedious.
But like that was a career you could do, court stenographer.
Mm-hmm. I think you still can.
Google that, Jerry. What do I make as a court stenographer?
Were you really looking at 5 years from now?
Well,
what
I'm
to
just
do?
Saying, like, yeah, in 5 years when I retire, I'm going to take on another thing. And this lawyer and judge thing seems like I'm going to have a lot of schooling. What if I go stenographer?
Boy, how do I get into stenography? After high school, the next steps, earn a relevant bachelor's degree.
Okay, I got that.
Complete a court reporting training program and acquire appropriate licensure or certification per your state's requirements.
That sounds easy, Jerry.
Yeah, so now you got your radio career
court
set up.
Court stenography.
The problem is you'd be a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be able to help yourself. You'd stop, judge. Are you going to let this crap? Will you shut him up?
I'd be typing it under my breath going, sounds guilty.
Put him in jail.
I'm not buying this.
It's funny.
They also, like, the lawyers and law and court is so specific now. Like, they have people who are experts at picking juries to get you off.
Yeah. Yeah.
You would like that, wouldn't you, Jerry? Someone picking somebody to get you off?
As long as it's 12 females.
12 Angry Females, the film.
Oh, my God, help me.
Did you ever see that movie in any school?
12 Angry Females get you off? No.
No. 12 Angry Men?
No.
It was a black and white movie. We watched it
film noir?
No, I actually watched it, I think, in our public speaking persuasion class.
Okay.
And I believe the film is about a jury that has to come to a unanimous decision. They have to get all 12 people. Mm. And how they had a bunch of people how one person convinced another person, then they convinced another person, just how that works.
Mm.
That's weird.
Yeah, sounds crazy.
Everybody's guilty, Jerry.
Everybody's guilty.
I did used to believe that if you made it to court, you're guilty.
Yeah.
Until I saw so many documentaries.
Of innocent people going to court.
Yeah. Really.
Goes to show, too, man. We form opinions sometimes, and we don't know.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm with you. I would think if you end up in jail.
In court?
If you end up in court, you probably deserve to be in jail, and that's not always true.
Right, because I always think, like, you know how hard it is to be able to arrest somebody and get them to court?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what evidence you have to have?
It's a long process.
It's a long process. You see so many times on these shows, they'd be like, we know he did it, but we don't have enough to arrest him yet.
Yeah, yep.
So you assume they then had enough to arrest them. They got him here in court. I don't want them getting off on a technicality. They're guilty of something. But so many times.
Yeah.
I've seen in these documentaries, wrong place, wrong time. just...
In fairness, though, those are one-off documentaries,
yeah.
And there are thousands of arrests every day across the country. So those are highlighting the, you know, the few times that they get it wrong. But I would think,
you're right, Jerry.
I would think the overwhelming majority, they are correct.
That if you make it to court, you're guilty?
Yeah.
Me
Doesn't
too.
Mean you are, but I do think most of the time that is the case.
Yeah.
Just percentage-wise, I would think.
All right, Jerry, we have a big meeting, and I've got court stenography classes to get to this afternoon. So let's do the warm-up show, and we'll see you tomorrow. See you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Good morning, campers.
Al and Jerry. Don't worry, it's only an hour long, and most days it doesn't suck.
And I must say, we look quite sportsy today. I got my Rutgers hoodie. Eddie's wearing his Dolphins sweatshirt or shirt or T-shirt, and Al's wearing his St. John's basketball hoodie. Look at us.
Yeah.
What's up, man?
Oh, hi, Jerry. Yeah, a lot of people, whenever I wear this St. John's basketball hoodie, people ask me if I went there.
No, you went to Indiana State, who are now in the Final Four of the NIT.
That's right,
Jerry. They're playing. You know, I give them a lot of credit from this standpoint. A lot of teams that get snubbed by the NCAA tournament, not getting in, even though they go to the NIT, sometimes the kids aren't into it. Like, I really felt like last year when Rutgers got snubbed and went to the NIT, they weren't into it. Indiana State's gone the other way.
Oh,
they're saying,
Jerry,
screw you, and it looks like they're going to try and go win this thing like Seton Hall is.
We got pride.
Yeah, so pretty
good.
So
could Seton Hall, what do you mean? Seton Hall is in?
Seton Hall is still in it as well.
So could Indiana State play Seton Hall?
Great question.
That'd be some wild
stuff. I don't know
stuff,
the bracket,
Jerry.
Which I
just Google it.
That is a great question.
I'm actually on that already, Eddie. I actually hit Google before you hit the button to just Google
it.
Yeah,
you Google it.
But I will check it for you. But your guy, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, is still killing it.
Nice.
So that's pretty good.
They sent me a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar T-shirt.
Yeah,
when we were talking about them, but they sent me a medium, which is I should be a medium. Like that should be my size.
Agreed.
I'm 153 pounds, Jerry.
Wow.
And I should be a medium, but for some reason I'm a large.
Okay.
I don't know what planet we're on.
Well, the whole clothes thing is ridiculous.
Yeah. So unfortunately, I can't wear it, or I'll look like a. Maybe I'll wear it one day this week just to show you what a medium looks like.
On you?
On me.
Okay. And maybe I'll do that too, and you can see what a human sausage looks like.
Let's all wear mediums one day.
No, thank you. So not only could they meet, they would meet in the championship.
Oh, that would be cool.
So Seton Hall plays, is it tonight? They play tonight. They play UNLV to get to the NIT Final Four. But they're on the other side of the bracket.
Are these games... being played at the home arenas?
They
are,
but the Final Four is in Indianapolis. So Indiana State goes to Hinkle Fieldhouse, as they say.
Yeah. Let's do it all for Indiana, Jerry, and all the great people from there.
All for Indiana.
Larry Bird, John Cougar Mellencamp, David Letterman.
Anybody else?
Other people.
And other people.
Kurt Vonnegut.
Kurt Vonnegut? Don't know who that is. You know who Kurt Vonnegut is? Me neither. I heard the name. Couldn't tell you who he is, though.
New idea.
Is he an actor or a...
The movie Slaughterhouse 5. Do you know that movie?
I don't know that one either.
Nor do I know 1, 2, 3, or 4.
You haven't seen the first four either.
Well, there weren't any. But
oh, okay. It was the title.
He's an author.
An author.
One of the great American authors.
Unfortunately, I don't read.
That we know.
So, unfortunately, I do not
You read
not
you're a headline reader.
I'm a headline. No, nowadays, Jerry, I can't get by with just reading headlines. I've been fooled too many times. No. I start on paragraph 3 now.
No, look at you.
Because the first two paragraphs are stupid.
Right, fair enough.
And they don't get to the story. And
Understood.
We now have to start at paragraph 3. I don't know if journalism school is failing us, because it used to be put all your information in paragraph 1. If the reader wants more information, they continue. But nowadays, there's too much dumb background in the first two, a lot of puns. And by paragraph 3, we get to the headline.
I agree. I totally agree.
I did see some people, Jerry, were upset with a couple of people. Were upset with the NFL playing a doubleheader on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
I guess because it falls on a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Like, again, it's very hypocritical.
How so?
We got all these rules for injuries.
Yeah.
All we've heard for years and years are how players hate the Sunday-Thursday turnaround. And so now we're going to do a Saturday-Wednesday turnaround after a probably Sunday-Saturday turnaround.
So a team that's going to play on Christmas Day.
Will play on Saturday.
The Saturday prior?
The prior Saturday. They're not going to go Sunday-Wednesday. It'll be Saturday-Wednesday.
Okay, but then they got to play again.
Then
they're off that
then
week
Then they
after?
Get the mini-bye.
Mini-bye.
Because you get the weekend off, and then you don't play again until the following
weekend.
All right,
well, that's not terrible.
That's always the reward for the quick turnaround. But as you've seen in Hard Knocks and you've seen in all these documentaries with quarterback, we've learned watching it how hard it is for these guys to play, how their bodies still aren't back to where they need to be, just going Sunday to Thursday.
Right.
Now you're going Saturday, Wednesday. As a fan, I don't mind it because I'm going to watch it. As someone who's involved in it, for years and years with Compass Media Networks, I hate it because I know the Cowboys are going to be on.
Right.
I know they're going to be one of the four teams playing.
They're going to put a popular team on.
Yeah, of course they are. And it's bad enough. I haven't had a Thanksgiving for, what year is this? 2024?
This is 2024 now.
So 13 years I haven't had a Thanksgiving, which is fine. I mean, it's what I chose to do. But now, I actually saw that Christmas fell on a Wednesday. I said, thank God. I don't know, because they played on Christmas Eve this year again at 4:30. Like, it ruins that, too. I'm like, all right, good. Tuesday, Wednesday, we're finally free for a couple of years. No, we're not.
So you actually think they might give the Cowboys a Thanksgiving Day game, as they always do, and a Christmas game?
I wouldn't be shocked.
Would you be? Because it is a doubleheader. No, they do need four teams, Jerry.
You need four teams? I'm not saying they're going to pick the Cowboys, but what I am saying is you're going to get some popular teams in there, and who draws better ratings than them?
That's true, Jerry. You got... The Patriots no more. No one's interested in, so it can't be
the
them.
The Chiefs are clearly still a dominant team that draws crazy ratings. But then it's the Cowboys.
Do you think they trust the Jets and Aaron Rodgers to be relevant and still playing by Christmas Day to slap them on one of the games?
Like they did on Black Friday when the Jets got slammed by the Dolphins?
Yes.
I don't know, man.
They may take another chance and put them on Christmas. Nice Christmassy green that the Jets wear
now. Sure. Chiefs Jets.
Oh, Jerry, that's perfect.
That would be awesome. I don't know if they play them. That would be awesome. The green and red.
Yeah. Or, yeah, we need some team with red to play the Jets on Christmas Day.
All I know is the only thing you can do when you're scheduling these things out is go with the information you have at the moment.
Right.
Right now, the Jets should be a really good football team.
It was funny. I guess previously, Roger Goodell was questioned about, well, I guess you guys are going to be putting games on every day of the week. There'll be a Tuesday game, a Wednesday game. He goes, no, there'll never be a Wednesday game. And then yesterday
there's a Wednesday game.
Well, it's a Wednesday game, but only if it falls on Christmas.
All right, here you go. Here's who the Jets could play.
You're looking at red? Oh, okay.
I've got their opponents
Perfect.
For 2024. The Niners.
Oh, that's a Christmassy color.
Jets 49ers on Christmas Day.
And people love the 49ers. They're very much a national team that could be interest for Christmas.
That would do very well on the ratings as well. I'm trying to think. Any other team here? The Bills could wear their terrible red jerseys.
Yep, they could do that.
And the Patriots could wear their throwbacks.
Yeah, no one wants to see the Patriots.
It's true.
That's
right,
kind
though.
Of it. No, oh, Houston, the no, Texans.
They have those red uniforms.
Yeah, that would be a good one. I think that would be about it because they play the Cardinals too, but no one wants to see them.
You think they've thought about that over in the scheduling center? Like, ooh, I mean, what if we got a green and red team?
In fairness, we thought about it in 90 seconds.
Yes.
You're going to tell me someone over there in the think tank of the NFL didn't think of that already? How could you not?
That's great.
Yeah. Doesn't mean they're going to do it, but
that'd
be cool.
I think we're doing it.
And so the Eagles could be the other green team.
But the problem is we're sending the Eagles to Brazil.
So
we're
probably not.
We're not going to make them also play on Christmas
Day. I like the way you're thinking. And the Cowboys already have Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
let's knock them out of it.
And the Packers could be the other.
They could be.
Right?
They're a green team.
And that's it for greens,
and they're good. Yeah.
No, Seahawks, but that's that awful.
Terrible green.
Yeah. Not a Christmas green.
Yeah, I think we got it. I bet you Jets, Houston, or Jets, because they're going to expect.
Jets Niners is a good
Jets
one.
Jets Niners, yes.
They're going to expect C.J. Stroud to be very good again this year. Right now, their new office is going, what are the chances Aaron Rodgers is not playing by Christmas again this year?
I know. There's always the chance. So I would tell you, too, it depends on when those games are as well. I don't think they would be 1 and 4:30 because a 1 o'clock game on Christmas Day would be brutal. But if you did, let's say, 4 and 7:30,
yeah.
To me, because at least by 7:30, the day's wrapped up, I think that would get a huge number. That afternoon game is a little rough, though.
Yeah.
On Christmas Day.
But it's nice to have, like, when you're gathering with family.
Yes. Little background.
Yeah, background. Because a lot of times, like in my family, no one really watches the NBA in my family. But it's on in the background just because it's something.
It's something live.
And you hope it distracts the uncles from talking about politics.
What do you, all kidding aside, that's true. What do you think the vibe was in the NBA offices yesterday when this came out?
Not good.
Because they had owned Christmas Day for 30 years, whatever it is, 20 years. And the NFL came and blew that out of the water this past year, and now they announced this. They've got to be like, what the hell?
Yeah. Now, the game in Brazil that they're sending the Eagles to, I guess it's down to either the Packers or the Browns will face them.
All right.
So let's give them the Browns so that we could have the Packers as the other green Christmas day.
That's actually funny.
Yeah.
I'm actually checking the Christmas Day NBA ratings versus the NFL ratings.
Yeah, it was not good. I recall
it was terrible,
yeah,
right?
I recall the NFL demolishing them.
Here you go. Here's the first paragraph. I don't even know what this means. The NFL mollywopped the NBA. That's a new word.
Google mollywopped.
What does mollywop mean?
All right, Jerry, mollywop.
That's pretty funny.
Beat them up pretty good.
It says to swing one's arms. Oh, this is an Urban Dictionary. Let me get the real. To hit someone hard, you mollywop them.
Okay.
I never heard that before.
And what's the etymology of that?
I already X'd out of it, unfortunately.
It says the NBA had 4 games, I think it was, on Christmas Day, or 5. They had a total 17 million people that watched the NBA that day, all 5 games.
Total?
Yes. Giants-Eagles had 29 million. That is unbelievable. Well, it's very believable, actually, but you get what I'm saying.
I remember I got a 13-inch color television for my bedroom when I was younger, and I did watch the NBA that day because it was the one thing that was on Christmas.
Okay.
That cool.
Yeah.
I was like, look at me watching NBA in my room.
Look at you.
Hook up my Commodore 64
to that
thing.
It was also the last time you watched an NBA game.
In its entirety, probably.
Yeah. In its entirety.
I will tell you that I watched in their entirety a Knicks Rockets and Knicks Pacers playoffs.
Okay.
100% watch that.
Okay. Well, that's
straight
when it was
up.
Really good.
Yeah, I was into it then.
By the way, this article in USA Today says the NBA has a long tradition of playing Christmas Day games dating back to 1947.
Fake news.
Wow.
We can't prove that.
That is crazy. I didn't know that.
So you're telling me in 1940, I thought the NBA wasn't even on live until the 1980s.
Well, it doesn't mean they didn't play live. Someone just go out there and play the game.
You're saying they played on Christmas. We just didn't see it.
You're so funny. Yeah, and not only that, I told you $29 million for the Eagles and Giants, $28 million for the 49ers and Ravens.
Mm.
Man. Pretty good.
Yeah. That's what the NFL should do. They just be like, what are some other nice days for other sports. Let's go take let's go take them away.
Baseball opening day.
Right. We should play a game Thursday afternoon football.
In they're going to move the NFL draft up to that.
Yeah.
Right. That would be something. If the NFL draft was this Thursday and Friday and Saturday, it would kill opening day.
Oh, free agency, March Madness.
Wow.
How you like me now?
Yeah. They're just up there in the office with a sports calendar out going, what are these other sports? What are their best days? Let's steal them.
Oh, my God. They could, too.
Man, they are
mean. Really good. And
they
I also forgot, cool. You also had Raiders Chiefs on Christmas Day that did $30 million. So the NFL did 90 million viewers on Christmas Day. The NBA did 17.
Wow.
That's a big difference.
Yeah.
I mean, that's more than 4-1.
Who's your daddy?
The NFL.
The NFL is.
Yeah, they are. The NFL is a behemoth.
Yeah.
Really. And I like the game less and less every year because of all the stupidity and the rules and the changes.
I agree.
And yet we still watch it like it's the only thing on TV.
We're still there, Jerry.
It is amazing.
Were you able to see what the new kickoffs are going to look like in the NFL?
Yeah.
I saw a lot of people had...
I don't mind it.
Me neither.
I don't mind. What I don't like the onside kick crap, though.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you would even change that. I don't know if you can do it any different than declaring you're going to do an onside kick. It's not possible any other way. But I do like the idea that you will have returns. I don't think you're going to have a lot of electric returns, but you will have returns again. So it's okay. It's fine. But the game looks different, though. The game that we grew up watching, it's not even close to the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and I saw a couple of teams. The Steelers, they went and got Cordarrelle Patterson,
mm-hmm.
who's a very good kick returner. They grabbed him as soon as that rule went into effect.
Smart.
Yeah.
Anybody signed Devin Hester yet? Where's Deion?
Deion's coming back. Just the one thing that did look, you know, the way that the kickoff's going to be now and how the all the players are kind of much further down the field so that you're not getting the running start to pop somebody.
Yeah.
It does seem like, though, if you get past that initial little line...
You're gone.
You're gone.
Yes.
Because there's nobody lagging behind.
The kicker.
Yes.
They better start practicing with that guy as the last line of defense.
Yeah, I kind of feel like we're going to see more returns.
Maybe. I only say that because I was listening to someone talk about this and the percentages of the returns in the XFL when they did this. And there were far fewer returns than they anticipated.
But I wonder if you had a guy like all of a sudden becomes a specialist, like a Devin Hester.
I would think you would. I think this now all of a sudden you've got this position that's got value as opposed to think about what the kickoff has been. Like this changes the game, the way we watch the game. Before, and that's what I said to them, I couldn't believe when I read it, that there was not one return in the Super Bowl. When we grew up, returns were such a huge part of the game in terms of field position, touchdowns, potential scoring plays, and we just eliminated it. And now we're going back to it in a different version, which I don't mind. I still would, to be honest, I would still prefer to start the game on the 30-yard line.
Yeah.
And then leave the onside kick, although then you still got to declare the onside kick, though, because, I don't know.
Yeah, it's screwy. They've screwed it up.
Yeah, it's definitely different, that's for sure.
But I'm kind of interested in seeing how it goes.
Yeah.
Dan Campbell was another one who came out. He seems very interested. He said the unknowns of the kickoff rule have people spooked, and that excites me.
That's cool.
So he's trying to make it a positive, Jerry. Now he's going to become – I wonder if there will be certain teams that decide they're going to be excellent returners.
I think every team should try and do that.
Yeah.
I mean, because now all of a sudden it's a way to get, not a cheap, but a quick score where you don't have to drive the ball down the field methodically. To me, why not? If you've got someone that you're looking at in college, like the draft is coming up, and they look like someone that's a dynamic returner, draft the guy.
Could be a game changer.
Whereas in the past, you wouldn't draft the guy. It wasn't a position that did anything.
Who were the great returners? Deion, you mentioned. Devin Hester.
Yeah.
Wasn't there somebody, Hall?
Dante Hall.
From
the Chiefs.
Yeah, he
and
was
going
good.
Back, Gale Sayers.
Gale Sayers? He was playing in mud.
In Chicago. You see, they want to put they were thinking about a dome stadium in Cleveland?
And Chicago.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, I put it on my show sheet for that reason.
Oh, is that what I saw that. I didn't know what the hell you were talking about.
Yeah, so they want a new stadium in Chicago off the lake.
Right, which I think they got approval for.
Which they said a fixed roof, which I guess means not retractable, right?
Not retractable.
Yeah. And then Cleveland wants to, these are two cities where we need to see bad weather. It used to be the teams would look at it like, this is our advantage. We're the Cleveland Browns. We play in this dump in the freezing cold weather. Same with Chicago.
That having been said, the two have combined for how many Super Bowls since 1985?
Zero.
How about playoff appearances?
Not many.
So I guess you could take that advantage and stick it up your butt. And the fans out there are saying, yeah, easy for you to say. You go sit out there for 4 hours.
Right.
But it looks different.
It ruins the charm.
I know.
When you're charging all this money for tickets and all this stuff, yeah. You can't have people losing their fingers and toes like they did in Kansas City.
Well, and that's the whole thing with tomorrow. Like, the Mets haven't changed their schedule for tomorrow. I'm not saying they won't move opening day to Friday, but it sucks. Like, to not have, and I don't want to, even for the baseball, I don't want a fixed roof. I don't want that. I want a retractable roof, and I want the damn thing open when it's nice out.
Yeah.
But it stinks, man. You can't plan anything. Like, you know how many people took tomorrow off to go to opening day?
Yeah.
And then I would say at some point late this afternoon, we'll get word if they're going to play or not. And then what? You know, I'm coming in now, and I'll be off Friday. Like,
no, we've already got coverage for you tomorrow.
It stinks.
That does stink.
Oh, well, what are you going to do?
I guess complain about it. That's what I like to do.
Well, we do complain about it.
Maybe we can call your guy.
Maybe he can help us.
Michael the Bull?
That's right.
Sue somebody about this?
Let's sue somebody.
All right. I agree with that, Jerry.
You ready?
Showtime. On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, Sheryl Crow. Nice to hear from you. It's 5:30. Well, almost 5:30. It's Wednesday midweek for some people, a short week because of the Catholic holidays coming up tomorrow and Friday.
Yes.
Not us. We'll be here all week.
We'll be here, but guess what? Alternate side parking suspended Thursday, Friday.
Oh, is that true? It doesn't bother me as much anymore.
Yeah, me too. It's not as exciting as it used to be, Jerry.
Not really. No, not really.
I had to text former WFAN talk show host Craig Carton yesterday, Jerry.
Okay.
I did a screen grab, and I texted him because I saw that the New York Yankees will be serving Zeppelis in a helmet.
In a helmet.
In a helmet.
In a helmet.
Oh, he was pissed, Jerry.
They do everything in a helmet now.
I don't know. I don't think they...
do chili. You can do chili. It depends on where you're at. In a lot of these stadiums...
They're doing other foods in a helmet?
Oh, yeah.
That was Craig and Boomer's idea years ago, and we did nothing about it.
No.
In a helmet.
And now everything's in a helmet.
What was it? What was the moguls thing?
Yeah.
Food in a helmet.
Helmet mogul. Food... Helmet food moguls.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I saw it, it bothered me when I first saw it, and I said, I got to annoy Craig with this. Let me screen grab a picture of two Zeppelin. It looked like two balls in a helmet.
Why not?
I eat the wieners in a helmet.
You eat the wieners in a helmet now. Okay. Here's the thing, though. You know, we've always talked about foods that you should not eat at the airport when you're going on a plane because you don't want to have to use the bathroom on the airplane. Same thing. No one wants to use the bathroom at a ballpark.
No.
You're going to eat Zeppelis in a helmet? Fried dough?
I would tell you, though, that Yankee Stadium and Citi Field, while still not brand new any longer, the bathroom situation, it's not the old Yankee Stadium and it's not Shea Stadium.
No, I just mean like...
But you still don't want to do it.
Yeah, because the bathrooms are beautiful there. But people will urinate, vomit on them. I don't know how often they're getting cleaned during games.
Yeah, no. I said you don't want to do it. That's
you don't
want
to
do it.
So I would not be eating a Zeppeli in a helmet.
I had good memories with Meatloaf.
In a helmet.
Wow, Meatloaf in a helmet. Okay.
Hey, good for him.
You want to give me pretzel bites in a helmet? That seems like a safe bet.
I don't know why.
I appreciate the melon in a helmet.
Melon's in a helmet.
To me, I don't look at it that way as I do the airline thing.
Really?
When I'm getting on a plane, I just want to feel okay because you're trapped up there.
So you'd be less careful at a ballpark
because
you have more options and less awkwardness.
I don't worry about that.
Lick the nuts in a helmet.
Nuts in a helmet.
I don't worry about the food at a ballpark. I really don't. Not that I get anything crazy. But if I have gotten nachos at a ballpark with the cheese and the peppers and all the crap, it doesn't faze me.
Yeah, I don't know why. Like, I would get, if I get anything weird to eat where I feel like it's going to bother my stomach, if I have a beer with it for whatever reason.
The carbonation calms it down?
Something.
Mm-hmm. So just get, there you go, just get loaded.
Zeppelis in a helmet with a beer.
With a beer.
We're going to eat your children!
In a helmet.
Children in a helmet? Weird. I don't know.
That was a little strange.
That's a weird one. I don't think they're going to serve children in a helmet.
Now, what is the chance that you find yourself at Yankee Stadium for one game this year where we can get you to have
zero
a Zeppelin?
Chance. There's a zero chance I'm at a Yankee
game. I made it once last year. One time? One time.
The only time I've been in the new Yankee Stadium, I was on the field.
To play the softball
game. Play softball, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You've
never gone to a Yankee game there in the new Yankee Stadium, huh? It really is.
It's beautiful.
Too big, and it feels like the Coliseum, but it is nice. I mean, it's not the same feel as old Yankee Stadium by any stretch, but it really is nice.
Yeah, it is cool. It was cool being on the field.
Yes.
Yankee Stadium, man.
And getting in the batter's box.
Yes.
And seeing your name and your face on the scoreboard.
Yes.
That one threw me for a loop.
Yeah, that was really cool.
That was wild.
And I got one of those Yeah Jeets t-shirts.
I remember.
And I took a photograph standing with that shirt on.
At shortstop.
At Derek Jeter's position.
I do remember.
That was cool.
That was cool. We've done some cool things.
I don't like to go anywhere, but when I get to places and I get to take a cool photo, then I'm in.
So let me ask you this. Your overall experience from that was, on a scale of 1 to 10?
I'm going to give that an 8.
An 8?
Yeah.
What was your panic level on a scale of 1 to 10 leading into that, considering that was a Wednesday or a Thursday night?
That's a panic of a 10.
But was it worth it? It was pretty cool.
You have that great picture with you and Sarah Hughes,
the Hughes Dukes. Yeah. She was the Olympian skater,
there
Sarah
are
Hughes.
Very few people in this world that get to do what we did.
Yes.
That's kind of cool.
I have, because my name on the back said Dukes.
Yep.
I got a picture.
No, we get it.
Hughes Dukes. But then also, same day, same event, Kenny Albert. So I stood next to him, Albert Dukes, which is my real name.
There you go.
That was cool, Jerry.
That is very cool. I remember I took a picture for when we played another softball game there with Chris Christie when I thought he might, he did run for president or at least tried.
Yeah.
Like if this guy ever becomes president, like I have a picture in the dugout at Yankee Stadium with potentially the president of the United States. That
was
kind of cool.
Very cool.
But that didn't happen.
I see Jordan Montgomery finally landed with the team, Jerry.
Arizona
Diamondbacks, 1 year, $25 million. In current baseball money, Jerry, is that a lot of money?
I think it's a good salary for a starting pitcher and someone who excelled last year in Texas.
So it's about what you thought it would be.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would guess that Scott Boras was probably telling him he's going to get 5 years, 150, which didn't happen, or 5 years and 180, right? You figure $30 million a year, so he got 25 with the vesting option for another year next season. I don't want to call it a bargain. $25 million is not a bargain. But he got significantly less and a lot less years than he was probably told he would get by Scott Boras. And the same thing for J.D. Martinez with the Mets. Supposedly he wanted $15 million a year, $20 million a year, something like that. He wound up getting 12, but only four of it now and the rest deferred. That's kind of where we're at right now.
Yeah, I kind of like it.
Yeah, it's a, you know, I look at it and I said right from the get-go, I thought the Mets should sign J.D. Martinez before the Kodai Senga injury. I know McMonagle's been on that too. The problem you do have, and I understand the issue with the luxury tax, is both teams will be over the tax, and that $25 million really is $50 because you're going to have to pay the luxury tax of 100%. It's tough. It's, you know, Jordan Montgomery's good. Is he that good?
No.
And I know it's a weird way to look at it because it's not just his contract. It's everybody's contract that gets you to that number. But because you're at the number already, anything you add now is going to be double. So I don't blame the Mets or Yankees for not signing them, but I would have.
Did Blake Snell get more money than that?
Blake Snell got, I want to say, from the Giants, I think two years guaranteed.
In the middle of that right
and
now.
And I think he got 50 or 60 max.
All right, Jerry, let's
I want to
see.
Say he got 52 for 2 years. Should come right up.
Yeah.
Not coming up. Blake Snell
2 years, 62.
Oh, 62, not 52. Okay. There you go.
I saw a weird photo on the internet. I think Funhouse put it out.
Oh,
it
Blake
was,
Snell?
It was of the 94 Rangers parade.
Oh, with Mike and Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
Mike and Chris were in a convertible. Mm-hmm. Mike looked like he's about to roll out of it. Because he's sitting up on the, you know, would you ride
when Chris annoys him. Gotta go.
Let me just roll right out of here.
That's right.
And Howie Rose said he's in that photo. I saw that.
Probably. He was the play-by-play announcer for the Rangers.
But you can't tell it's him. He said he's the guy in the red shirt.
Oh, okay.
But I couldn't tell it was him. But
yeah. That year for them was why. They went to so many events.
Mike and Chris?
Yeah. They were on planes constantly going from game to game, city to city, following the Knicks and the Rangers for that whole thing.
Yeah, Vancouver to Houston.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty wild. Like, it was a big deal.
And doing live shows there?
Yeah.
Back when it wasn't so easy to do.
And Mike was doing the live from the play-by-play during that era as well at the Garden. Remember?
Remember that show. I didn't realize it was 94, but I do remember that show briefly.
And I saw the Rangers were the first team they've made the playoffs.
Yeah.
Early, Jerry.
Also, for 100 points. They now surpass Boston for first place in the East.
Who do you think?
They don't want to win the President's Cup.
It doesn't usually go well for them.
That's a curse.
Who do you think goes further, the Rangers or the Knicks?
I think they both get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Really? But no further?
No.
That'd be a nice little run, though.
No, you know, I'm going to change that. The Rangers. I think the Rangers will be in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Really?
I do.
We're going to get Rangers Stanley Cup while Boomer's sitting right here?
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Well, we've had it before. They lost to the L.A. Kings in the Stanley Cup Finals in, I forget what year it was, 15, 14, I don't know.
What?
We've had that run.
And Al, you and I were at that
you don't remember?
Fire Island, and he had that event at the Island Mermaid, but he was late to
that
it.
That was Stanley Cup Finals?
Yeah, he was late to it because that game went into
I
overtime,
do recall that.
Double overtime, and they lost.
You don't remember the whole Rangers Stanley Cup run? They didn't win it. They lost to the Kings. The Kings beat the Rangers and the Devils in like back-to-back years or something. You don't remember the – no?
No. It's so crazy.
We've had that.
There's just like – the Mets being in the World Series in 2015 doesn't really register.
Really?
I guess because they lost?
That to me does register because of all the Matt Harvey stuff.
Noah Syndergaard.
The whole Cespedes stuff. Like, that season was still...
Wilmer Flores.
It wasn't even the season. It was the middle of July stretch run through the rest of the season. Was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. I'm surprised that they still won the pennant.
I remember going out and watching those games like on the weekends at a sports bar.
Yeah. That was when you thought the Mets were about to embark on a unbelievable journey of winning.
Yeah.
Not so much.
Oh, and Noah Syndergaard sailed that ball over that dude's head on the
Which wasn't over his head. It was over the inside part of the plate. The dude ducked in and then made something out of it. And it was nothing.
Okay.
If you go back and watch that video, that ball is high. It's not over his head. It's up and in. But it's on the inside part of the plate and in.
His reaction made it seem worse.
Because he was expecting it.
Oh, okay.
That's why. We'll take
He's
a quick
break. He's expecting it plunked right in the head.
Pretty much. I'll take a quick break. 5:39. Just get it. Well, we're actually more than halfway home. Well, Boomer and Gio will be just getting started at 6 o'clock here on The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, that was kind of timely. Howie Rose in the Rangers car, and then we were talking about the Mets winning the pennant and losing to the Royals, and there's Howie Rose talking about the Mets winning the pennant. That's kind of cool.
I saw an article, which I first thought was like, you know, like Baseball Reference is a very reputable.
Very reputable.
Right? Yep. Baseball Reference. I'm like, this is a very reputable thing. And the headline was something like, the Yankees have no shot to make the playoffs based on Baseball Reference. I was like, whoa.
And I saw their games won is like 70 or something.
Yeah, they have Baseball Reference has the Yankees at a 2.7% chance to make the postseason.
Yeah, what is that based on?
And win just 71 games.
Now, we've seen teams that we thought would be really good not be. That's not going to be the case with this team. What is that possibly based on?
So delving more into the article, I think I read this in the New York Post. It says that Baseball Reference looks at run differential and strength of schedule from the previous 100 games.
Fair enough.
They then run a simulation 1,000 times. The problem is it doesn't take into account anything you've done in the offseason. Like signing Juan Soto.
Well, but how do you come up with that projection then? Because that you're basing it off last season's team. There's so much turnover.
They're basing it really off of last season's last 100 games.
No, so I know. So
if you had like got off to a great start in your first 62
Understood.
Games.
Understood. Yeah. But that doesn't, what I don't understand is how would they not plug in what Juan Soto has done in his career now as a member of the Yankees? How would they not plug in the fact that Anthony Rizzo was out due to injury and not take into effect what he has done in his career and what you would expect this season? That doesn't make sense.
It does not make sense, which is why, although I read the entire article because I really wanted to grasp it, Baseball Reference should have a different formula. They're we just said they're reputable, Jerry.
They are reputable, but that's a bad formula, especially when I think they're over-under in Vegas is 91.5 or something.
Yeah, it was way off from the sports
books. Or 92. It's a much bigger number than that.
Yeah.
What did it have for the Mets? Did anybody check?
No, I didn't look at it.
Imagine the Mets at 88.5 or something.
Yeah, probably higher.
Although with their last 100 games, they're over-under. They might project them at 55 wins.
That's correct.
My God.
Yeah, so the Baseball Reference has the Yankees projected with less wins than the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Okay.
The who?
Well, I think you got all you need to know about those projections.
I like this move, Jerry. Dave Roberts, the manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers, putting a positive spin on the Shohei Ohtani situation.
Okay.
He sees a positive in this, Jerry. He says...
I'd love to hear this.
Since his interpreter was also his best friend, he felt that Shohei had a bit of a buffer between him and his other teammates. And he says, quote, "There's no longer a buffer. I think I've already seen in the last couple of days, I think Shohei has been even more engaging with his teammates. And I think there's only upside with that."
Oh, that's true.
Positive.
As long as the gambling stuff doesn't come back to bite him in the ass.
That would be not positive.
That would be not positive. Because I do agree that that's probably a good thing going forward for him and the team and relationships. The problem is the little thing that over here in this corner that's still going to be ongoing is this whole gambling thing.
That could be a problem.
It sounds like it's a big... And the more I read about it, the more I don't believe him. I really don't.
I know. What happens is, like, I saw the press conference. I want to believe him. I don't like how we always think everybody's guilty immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, yesterday, I opened the warm-up show talking about this. I said to you, why are people not believing? And then you laid out some things. I was like, good point. Then again, the rest of the day goes on, and I go back to thinking, oh, you know. And then I click on BT and Sal brings up a really great point, and I'm like, huh.
Which was? Do you remember?
I'm trying to think what his...
Because there's so much smoke around this. That's the problem.
I can't recall what, but it was a really good point to make me go, oh, right. Right.
Mm-hmm. Even the fact that... The fact that he had zero idea of this as they go into the team meeting and he tells the team before he tells Ohtani what he's telling the team.
Oh, what? I know the thing Sal brought up. That he was, if the guy had stolen the money from him, while he had to know that when he was buddies with him in the dugout of the very first game, laughing it up with him.
Right.
Like, this doesn't make sense.
No, none of it makes sense. And if this is the case, why has this guy not been, why have they not pressed charges for grand larceny? He didn't steal $400 from him. It's $4.5 million.
Yeah.
Like, put him in jail. Like, he hasn't been arrested yet.
No, he has not.
And because of the way he did it, I don't even think it's a situation where Ohtani decides not to press charges. I think the government
just arrest him.
Has to press charges.
Yeah. Right. I think there's going to be so much that comes out of this. I and I don't know if it's good or bad. I have no idea. But we're going to learn a lot.
Yeah, I'm all for it, though. Like, I love learning a little bit more every day. I feel like I didn't learn much yesterday. I want to get a little bit more today, Jerry. I need more internet sleuths out there.
Well, you need the Los Angeles media to go hard on Ohtani.
I think they're lazy out there, the L.A. media.
I don't know about that.
And you have to start working on the 30 for 30 right now, Al. You should produce it.
Yeah, we need a 30 for 30 or a Netflix docuseries.
Well, it's got to play itself out, though.
It does. Yeah, I can't start yet.
And keep in mind, too, no questions 2 days ago.
Right.
He did that. I knew he spoke to them. I did not realize until mid-morning yesterday that not. I thought he took a couple of questions at the end. That was 12 minutes of just reading from a statement, basically.
There will be no questions.
None. Zero. Zilch.
Why can't Bill Belichick do that at the end of games? Go, there will be no questions. Here's my statement on the game.
Get fined.
Oh, you have to answer questions in the NFL?
Yes. Yes, you do.
Oh, right. Remember Marshawn Lynch was like, I'm only here because I'm going to get so
correct.
I don't get fired.
Get fined.
Or fined.
Yep. Exactly right.
Eric Decker, Jerry. You remember him? He played for the...
Eric Decker.
Boy, he had a great time in Denver when he had Peyton Manning that year.
Yeah.
Right? He had a nice, solid year.
He was okay here, too.
Yeah, I thought he was pretty good with the Jets.
Yep.
He put a photo up on social media yesterday. He underwent a vasectomy.
Okay.
After having his fourth child.
He's done.
No more children, Jerry.
Four's a lot.
That's a weird... I still do not understand the vasectomy. I know they cut the tube where the sperm go.
Mm-hmm.
But don't they still... The sperm get made?
Yeah, but I think they end up in... It's like... I think the analogy is they end up in a pool and die.
They're like just stuck in this tube?
I believe so.
That goes nowhere? Like a dead-end street?
I believe that's exactly what it is.
And they just die there?
I'm pretty sure.
Every day, there's just sperm dying.
I think if you're producing it... That's what happens.
Because you still get...
And some can slip through the cracks. It's not 100%. It's like 99, right? Am I wrong about this, Eddie? It's not 100%.
Correct.
But yeah.
How, if the tube is cut, how's it getting out of the tube to sneak through?
Well, you ever see the animals that can squeeze through little cracks?
Yeah, like a mouse will collapse its body.
Apparently with that, it's not 100%. I had a friend of mine that did it on a lunch break and never told his wife.
Now
she still doesn't know.
Always when March Madness starts, you would see these things where the March Madness...
The Wednesday before.
Yeah, like these doctors run vasectomy specials so that you can come in during your lunch, watch the NCAA tournament, get the snip, don't even tell anyone.
Or do it on Wednesday so that you have Thursday off and you're watching basketball all day when you're home recovering. Because that's got to be a bad scene down there for 24 hours.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
That can't be good. That cannot be good.
When they just go and snip.
That's why I said to my friend, like, how do you hide that? He's like, I went on a business trip. Oh, my God. Dude.
He timed it right.
But he's got a good handful of kids, too. And he's like, I can't do it anymore. Yeah. We've got a great family. No. It's okay.
This is plenty
Listen,
of children.
You do what you want, man.
And then
when she does find out 10 years from now, 20 years from now, that you decided to have a vasectomy and not tell her, good luck with that.
I mean, imagine having a baby with having a vasectomy. Like, what a miracle baby that would be.
Sure.
That baby probably going to cure.
How about this scenario? You have an affair. You have a vasectomy. Don't think there's any chance. Oof. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Not good.
That's not going to be good, Jerry.
Not good. All right, take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get you Boomer and Geo in here and wrap things up. Odyssey Sports Minute, Amy Lawrence. Oh, I like this title, Eddie. How the NFL Stole Christmas.
It's the dynamic duo of Al and Jerry. The superheroes of WFAN.
Right, we got a couple seconds left before we get to Boomer and Gio. What'd you leave out there, Al?
I saw that. Remember, we had heard that Jim Harbaugh was going to be living in an RV.
Yeah, he was real.
Yeah, that was real. He was a little
had a garage sale, and then he got in his RV, and he's in LA now.
Yeah, he was in an RV next to, I guess, the offensive coordinator also was in an RV.
Okay.
Next to him.
It oddly sounds kind of cool.
Well, that's coming to an end because his family is now moving.
And building a house.
Yeah, so they're going to move into their rental.
How much money you'd save, though?
Right, if you live in an RV.
Sold my house, lives in an RV. It'd be fun.
I'm almost in the place the size of an RV. If I could just get a...
You could commute to work with it.
Right, Monday through Friday.
Just stay here.
I'm parked out front.
WFAN. WFAN-FM. WFAN-FM HD1, New York. Always live on the Free Odyssey app.